Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
I think it's the best show on the air ever that has been. It's weird how good it is. It's so strange.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 21, 2023. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. How you doing? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 790 of the Biden-Harris administration, 595 days until the 24th presidential election. My handle on Instagram, where you should follow me, is the Bob Seska. Twitter, Bob Seska underscore go. Spoutable, Bob Seska. They're taking video over there, by the way, so I'm posting videos there too. Patreon, of course, is BobSeskaShow.com. And sitting right over there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
You yeah. Say Buzz Burbank.
Merry Arrestmas.
You've said it all.
Merry Arrestmas, everybody.
Ah, you're jumping the gun.
I always get so excited on Indictment Eve.
I didn't say, we were just saying before the show, I hardly slept last night, and I think this is why.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I don't know.
It's
just occurred to me.
Indictment Eve, yeah. Of course. Well, hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. And he is Bob, and I am Buzz, and you couldn't pay us $130,000 not to talk about this. Oh, a lot going on this week. We were just talking about that before the show.
Yep.
Trump says he's going to be arrested today. Now, if that's true, it'll probably go down right after we finish the show, right?
Yeah.
When we're done.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
When. But if that happens, don't worry. Just open your window. You'll still hear us.
Yes, the celebration will resonate throughout the land. Yeah.
Hey, in that big hush money case, Stormy Daniels has agreed to testify in court about having sex with Donald Trump.
Ew.
That shouldn't take long.
Just a couple seconds.
Special counsel Jack Smith has subpoenaed, maybe you heard about this, has subpoenaed 2 dozen people from the Mar-a-Lago staff in that classified documents case. The subpoenas include housekeepers and waiters. Clearly, special counsel Jack Smith wants to know exactly how many bottles of ketchup. former Biden White House press secretary Jen Psaki launched her show on MSNBC on Sunday.
Yeah.
The show is called Inside with Jen Psaki. But I believe the working title was Sit Down, Peter Ducey.
See? That should be the title of the show. I love that.
So.
Yeah.
I agree. Florida tourism officials this year are predicting record crowds for spring break.
Oh, yeah?
It's simple, really. No books in Florida. They're all gone. All gone. And Florida Republicans are expected to pass a bill to restrict how pronouns are used.
Oh, jeez.
So in Florida, I believe the only pronouns that are still allowed are Buford and Loretta.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, here we go. Kicking off an indictment week with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Would you like to hide that Trump in a padded room? Could we just decide to like him a
soon.
Yeah.
He could gloat and tweet and brag about inaugural signs.
Tell him come by.
Oh, yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike, Marion Ann Arbor.
The Rocky Mountain Mike.
And yeah. Someone else is singing in there. I apologize. I don't have her name, but oh, my God, a tour de force from our favorite singers, songwriters, song parody creators.
And I want to say that my wife and I currently have house guests that are politically like-minded.
Okay.
And last night I made them sit down and listen to Jody Hamilton and Rocky Mountain Mike do Summer Wine. Oh. Slapped that up on the big screen and made them watch it, and they loved it.
Well, okay, so lots to talk about today. Obviously, this could be a big week. I'm not sure what day this is going to... I don't know if anyone knows what day the indictments are going to be handed down in New York City against Donald Trump. The grand jury isn't in today. They're out. They're taking a break today, so they'll be back tomorrow, right?
You know, I don't know. That depends on whether... DA Alvin Bragg calls them back for more testimony by Michael Cohen. I wasn't aware they weren't meeting today.
Yeah.
So that's new to me. But I do know that we don't know yet whether Cohen will be called back. It just depends on whether the prosecutors think that Robert Costello, Trump's witness yesterday, needs to be refuted, or if they think his testimony pretty much fell apart on its own. So it'll depend on the confidence level of the prosecutors there in Manhattan as to whether there's more grand jury or not. We may be at a point, and since the grand jury's not in today, it's very possible the papers can be prepared today to be submitted to the grand jury tomorrow for a vote.
Okay.
And if the grand jury could vote to approve them, and at that point they would be released. I was still of the belief. Last week you were saying you thought it would be Wednesday, and you may turn out to be correct here. The last I heard, it was possible even this evening that it depended on what Bragg decided about further testimony from Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
So I'd like to hold out hope that it could still happen this evening, and hold out some hope that Trump was accidentally right about that, since he had no actual knowledge of when the indictments would drop.
Yeah.
But it now appears, with the information you've given me, that perhaps Wednesday is the more likely day.
I get the sense what that whole Tuesday thing was from Donald Trump is that was the portend of a fundraising email. I think doing there is saying, hey, look, it's going to happen Tuesday, so give me your money, give me your life savings, hand it over to me now so I can buy more ridiculous paintings and bullshit for myself.
That was very much his way of saying, act now.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, according to NBC News, several sources familiar with the matter say they do not expect developments Tuesday in the Trump grand jury matter. The next scheduled grand jury date is tomorrow, Wednesday. That's the earliest we may learn more as to what comes next. And so, obviously, the soonest we'll see an indictment handed down, an indictment decision taken, or a vote taken on that is tomorrow. And
I'd like to know what's going down today. What in the office, in the Manhattan DA's office, are they preparing their closing arguments? Are they making a decision about Michael Cohen? Obviously, they all showed up for work today in the prosecutor's office and continue their work while the grand jury gets a deserved day off at this point. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. Are we certain the grand jury couldn't be called back in this evening, or do we just not know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I think, though, the ultimate takeaway in all of this is that it's a matter of when, not a matter of if. I think Donald Trump will absolutely be indicted in New York City. That's, you know what, yesterday I was kind of at 75-80% on that. Today I'm feeling it at about 99%. That's just how certain I am at this point in terms of the actual indictment being handed down. And it's just now a question of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, early next week, possibly at the latest. Obviously, it's all just speculation, but I don't think they're going through all of that effort to block off the courthouse building in Manhattan.
Right.
just for a what if. You know, those kind of preparations usually mean that something serious is going to go down. So
I was just going to say, I suppose it's responsible journalism. In fact, I know that it is for mainstream media to say we don't know if there's going to be an indictment.
Yeah.
I feel like going out on a limb and saying, yes, there will be an indictment. Preparations have been made for this could happen any minute now. That was the purpose of the preparations occurring when they did.
Yeah.
Was just to get everybody involved on the same page because it was a thing that could happen at any time.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it remains a thing that could happen at any time, although Wednesday does look more likely at this point. We were all hoping that, you know, so we'll look at this as indictment eve, perhaps.
Yeah. And the next aspect of all of this, Buzz, is the question of the reaction from Donald Trump's red hat mobs and militias. Now, see, you seem to be lined up with Lawrence O'Donnell and Charlie Pierce. Lawrence O'Donnell did a whole A block thing last night about how it's unlikely that there'll be any violence or anything like that.
You of know, any certainly, great significance.
Yeah, yeah, certainly not on the scale of the insurrection on January 6th.
Right, right.
I'm a little bit more hesitant to underestimate the violent tendencies of this mob. I think they are far more radical, I think, than we often give them credit for. And it extends beyond January 6th. These are people who are stockpiling firearms, who are stockpiling, you know, whatever, all varieties of tactical gear from Amazon and whatever online retailers they find all of their tactical pants and hats and sunglasses and whatever, the masks that they wear. When you see people doing that, eventually what they're going to want to do when they collect all of these things is to actually try them out. It'd be like having a car collection, sure, like a Jay Leno style car collection in your garage and never driving the cars. You know,
right.
I hope I'm wrong about this. I hope that I'm overestimating their reactionary nature. But I did a video today, posted on Instagram and then again on Twitter and on Spoutable now. Spoutable's taking video. And I did that video about sort of the long shadow of history, the historical precedent of these entitled white radical extremists overreacting to being told by grownups that, no, you can't have that. For example, January 6th, no, you can't have your guy for a second term. Well, blah, 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 they freaked. They totally lost their spadoinkle all over the place, obviously.
Right.
And then the secession movement in the South, once Abraham Lincoln was elected, in reaction to that, oh my God, it's a Northern anti-slavery president. Holy shit, now we have to secede. Even though for the prior 85 years, the United States government, the destiny of the republic, was orbiting around these southern landowners, the southern interests who desperately wanted to preserve slavery as the cornerstone of the economy. And so this is the sort of thing that they have shown a predisposition for. You know what I mean? So I'm happy to be wrong. I'm happy for there to be no violence whatsoever. But I'm having a hard time going down that road, given their history.
You're right to be concerned about a certain amount of this.
Yeah.
You got peanut butter in my chocolate. We're both right. We're both right on this.
And delicious. We're both delicious.
We are, in fact. Yes, and chewy. When you say they, you know, we have to ask ourselves seriously, how many is they?
Yeah.
I think we're talking about a very small cadre that's gotten a lot smaller since 1,000 of them are in prison, or 900, whatever the number is. Those numbers have been diminished, and I think, in fact, some of those jokers have been deterred from taking that kind of action because of the results they have seen from it so far. They don't want to end up in that position. So we're talking about a smaller and smaller and smaller group of people who are, in fact, armed and wanting to use their weapons, as you indicated. I think what we're going to see are isolated incidents. Mary Trump is warning. It'll be on your show tomorrow, and that's fantastic.
Yes, thank
you. She's warning that that these will be violent. There will be violence, and it will pop up anywhere in America, anywhere in the U.S., not in Washington necessarily, not even in your state capital necessarily, but there will be some violence out of this because of the people you cited, Bob, who have the guns and wish to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, especially at this point, with so many in jail, so many facing felony charges yet, I've got some figures if you want to get to them later about the number of people charged so far, the number of people yet to be charged, and how far along the DOJ Jack Smith is in their investigation of the fake elector scheme. But in the meantime, just know that a good number of the people who committed January 6th are not available. And another good number of those people are deterred from doing anything because of what they saw happen to their brethren. And I think they also sense a change in the country. What does it say? Some Proud Boy or Oath Keeper or something got beat up in New York over the weekend by counter protesters. I shouldn't laugh because all violence is bad, but you know, they left with their tails between their legs. I don't know how afraid to be of these people. I would always be afraid of right wing violence, either by one guy or a small group of men. He knows it's men and it's white, and it's you know who's going to be in the lineup. But I think they are either diminished in actual number or deterred in theoretical numbers by the event so far. And so I'm just not concerned about a civil war. Now, my concern is, and I know we share this, is the concern of these repeated calls for secession, for a national divorce, and all of that. That's all dangerous stuff. Where that's going, I don't know.
Well, it's a good point, and I'm glad you brought up those guys who were beaten up in New York City. What was it? I think it was New York City, right?
Yes, it was New York, yeah.
Yeah, because ultimately, there are quite a few of them who are cowards, and they talk a big game. A lot of shit goes on in their whatever circles they're in online, and whatever, their meetings, they, you know, obviously love to pump themselves up as being more dangerous than they actually are. You know, in many cases, they're just gigantic cowards, though. They'll just crumble under pressure, and they will be deterred by the arrests that have taken place as a consequence of January 6th. But then again, there are still the really radical militia elements of Trump supporters who could already planned retaliation for possible indictments handed down against Donald Trump, irrespective of the venue itself. So whether it's New York City or Georgia or Washington, D.C., what have you. So I'd like to think that you're right and that Charlie Pierce is right and that Lawrence O'Donnell is right.
We're all right.
I feel as though we haven't seen the end of the far-right violence, the far-right terrorism that comes as a consequence of their support for Trump.
I agree, but I think it's going to be isolated and relatively small. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I don't know what the death toll might be in a given act of domestic terrorism, and I shudder to think about that because, as I think you're indicating, it could be huge. It could be devastating. And but I do think there will be random acts of violence because of what's happening here by those people who have the guns and wish to use them. That's well said. I'm glad you said it that way.
Obviously, there's going to be some of these militia guys portraying themselves or masquerading as Antifa and stirring up violence that way. They've been doing that since, the Democratic Convention in 1968? I mean, that's the sort of thing that Republicans love to do, dress up like the opposition. It's a version of rat fucking that includes, violent instigation, right? Mm-hmm. So the other thing that I'm enjoying is watching the excuses come down in reaction to the impending indictment in New York over the Stormy Daniels thing. Like, for example, Tucker Carlson on his show last night said, this happens all the time. So many people pay hush money to porn stars. You know, as we all have, Buzz. I can't tell you. I can't even count on one hand the number of times I've paid hush money to a porn star. What about you? Everyone's doing it.
I did give one a lift to a tanning parlor one time, but that's
that's actually a true story.
That is actually a true story.
But that was part of your job description. News guy, porn star, chauffeur.
Yeah, let's say that.
But anyway, yeah, I love how Tucker just spreads this all around. You know, we all do this shit. So why is it even, why are they even bothering in New York City to get Trump on this? Of course he did it because we all do it. Yeah, thanks for that defense, Tucker.
What I think everybody needs to do, all progressives, is what I did on social media, which I'm all over now, the other day. And that is to lay it out very clearly. This is not just about a hush money payment.
Yeah.
This is about lying about the nature of the hush money payment, claiming it on a legal state document as a legal expense when in fact it was no such thing.
That's right.
That's illegal. Mm-hmm. And if these things were done, by the way, in the commission of another felony or a conspiracy, then that raises all of this to felony status. And as if that weren't enough, it all occurred just days before the presidential election and may have saved Trump's ass in what was an election that was a lot closer than it should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
And during his presidency, the president of the United States was writing checks to his lawyer fixer to reimburse that lawyer fixer for the $130,000 in hush money that he paid to Stormy Daniels. So this isn't just about hush money. This is about breaking the law. This is about lying about it. And this is about deceiving the American people with a cash payment days before an election. This is a huge crime. Don't let anyone diminish it.
Yeah, in fact, Andrew Weissman co-authored an op-ed, I think, in the New York Times today, saying that exact thing. This is a bigger deal than it's being made out to be. Right. And I think augmenting all of that is Michael Cohen's testimony, which included the fact that he did coordinate with the Trump campaign, officials in the Trump campaign, when it came to the timing and amounts and so on. So this was absolutely, if you want to create a Venn diagram overlap between the hush money payments and the Trump campaign, it's pretty damn overlapped. I mean, there's a big section in the middle that is that big overlap. So
yeah, I was just going to say, on the subject of Michael Cohen, by the way, the witness yesterday, Robert Costello, former attorney for Michael Cohen, testify that Cohen's testimony can't be relied upon, that he was a career liar, and he was a career liar. There's no doubt about that. And that's tough on a prosecutor who's trying to make a case. But I understand Costello, by the way, was not terribly convincing and wasn't in there very long.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's some good news there. I think the prosecutors are confident they still have everything they need. But what I've learned in the last 24 hours is that it's not, even though Michael Cohen is a key witness in this, and even if he were to be discredited, that's not the end of the case.
Yeah.
There have been hands full of corroborating witnesses. He's not there have been a lot of very credible people who have testified in support of Michael Cohen's claims. Trump was individual one in the legal action that sent Cohen to prison. This is, you know, there's no way to discredit Cohen, I don't think, but if that were to happen, and as important as he was as a witness, he's not key to this case. So everything does not hinge on Michael Cohen.
I also love this excuse, Buzz, that an indictment is going to help Trump while simultaneously saying, God damn this indictment. I can't believe they're doing this to an ex-president. Why, oh, why? Those two things are in direct conflict with each other. It's either going to help Donald Trump, and you should support that, the helping of Donald Trump if you're a Trump supporter, or it's bad news for Donald Trump and you're enraged about it. One or the other, but they can't exist at the same time. I guess they can in that oblivious Fox News red hat bubble, but looking in from the outside, it's just showing their duplicity and ridiculousness. Yeah,
you know, this reminds me a little bit of Nixon's final days, in that there are still diehards who support Nixon. And when you hear someone say that this will galvanize Trump supporters, it absolutely will. But the other half of that equation is there are fewer Trump supporters because of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
his support is I mean, even in a lead in the polls against DeSantis as he might, both of those men, by the way, could be wiped out before this race comes to fruition. Neither one of them may be the nominee the way things are going.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's still these diehard people supporting Trump, and now supporting him more than ever. but there are also fewer of them. So, and this is a familiar pattern from the final days of Watergate, and I think it's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, and I would be exhausted from spending the last 7 years now, 8 years, constantly having to triage Donald Trump. Constantly having to, you know.
That's what I did. That was my career.
Yeah, that's right. I think I've said it in the past. I think I've made this metaphor in the past where the Republicans, all the Donald Trump supporters, the entire cabal, these guys are all the pooper scooper guys who pick up the elephant shit as the elephants are marching through the parade. And so that would get exhausting after a while. I mean, yet another thing. Here we go again. I got to now jump through hoops to try to defend Donald Trump, to try to figure out how to thread this needle, how to come off as still having some form of credibility while at the same time defending this ungainly weirdo and his ongoing crimes. That would be exhausting. Can you imagine that?
You'd be
in that position.
And yet there's still idiots up for it, and it's because they're courting that red hat base, that Trump base. Yeah. They want to get rid of Trump, but keep Trump's base. That's what DeSantis is doing. For a sidebar here, DeSantis' statement yesterday, I believe it was, that he said, well, I wouldn't know what it's like to pay off a porn star, but at the same time, it's clear that this DA is a political agenda.
Yeah, right.
Let's break down what DeSantis did there very quickly. On one hand, he slammed Trump, and on the other hand, he slammed the investigation, pleasing Trump's voter base. So DeSantis is, like a lot of other Republicans, beginning to separate himself more and more from Trump and trying to, at the same time, in the same breath, hang on to Trump supporters. And while I have the floor, if I may, I want to address about the Stormy Daniels case, the argument, and I've heard some prosecutors say this, I wouldn't have started with this case. I wouldn't have made this his first indictment. I would have started with something better than this. This is weak sauce to start with. But you'll hear other prosecutors say, and the other side of that coin is, when you get one conviction, it makes it so much easier to pursue the other cases.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Plus, I don't think that any of these prosecutors can legally coordinate the timing of their investigations with each other. It's just so happened that it's turned out this way. Right. And I think no one wants to be the first one. I swear to God, I don't think Alvin Bragg is sitting in an office going, oh, thank God, I'm the very first. Whoa, lucky me. No. He's probably going, shit. Why Fonny? Why Maybe. Jack? Why did you stick me out on a limb like this?
Yeah, and it does. And the reason he's feeling that stress is because the pressure on him is stepped up because as a tough and seasoned prosecutor, he knows that if he were to lose this case, it will make the subsequent cases harder to get into court, much less get convictions for.
Well, one of the other excuses that's really entertaining is that Trump and others are saying that if they can do this to Donald Trump, imagine what they can do to you.
Oh, I know.
Which is the lamest, stupidest, most ridiculous excuse I've ever seen. You know why? Because right now, every day, you pick up the newspaper, you turn on social media, and do you turn on social media or do you log
in?
You
do. House, there's a big switch. I just flip every
It's
morning.
A dial. It's like a giant old school dial that you have to turn with both hands. But yeah, you see in the news almost every day, black men being executed in the streets by law enforcement. That's the kind of justice regular people get in this country. They certainly don't get the long leash that Donald Trump has had all this time. I mean, how long has the grand jury investigations, plural, gone on in Fulton County? How long has there been an investigation going on in the Department of Justice? Almost since Merrick Garland was appointed Attorney General has that been going on. So these are things that are exhaustive because of who they're investigating. So Donald Trump has all kinds of privilege in this that doesn't extend to regular people. Right. I mean, it's the most absurd claim to make. If Donald Trump's name were John Smith and he were still an ex-president, he would and committed these crimes, he would certainly be prosecuted. And maybe,
I was going to say, as other former politicians have been, the Republican Democrat over the years, Rachel outlined this last night in her show, that this sort of thing happens all of the time, and there's nothing that says a former president can't be prosecuted.
I think they're just cycling through every excuse that they can fabricate that will sort of worm its way into the softened skulls of the Red Hat faithful, and that's they're trying to get away with at this point. And it's like wafer thin. And so what do they say? It's a mile wide and an inch deep. Ultimately, the biggest reaction to the possibility, and we're still at the possibility phase of Donald Trump being indicted in New York City, is just wah. That's the general reaction that we're getting. And then as soon as that drops, I mean, that's why the protest by the Young Republicans of New York City was such a flop yesterday. It's certainly one of these noises.
And that's what I'm talking about when you talk about violence. I think that's the kind of turnout we're going to see.
But the indictment hadn't been handed down yet. So all they were reacting to was the possibility of that. And that's not going to get people to change their schedule and take the day off work and fish their tactical gear out of the laundromat. You know, it's just like, they're not ready for it yet. But as soon as the information is handed down, as soon as the indictment is handed down, that's when we can expect, some form of overreaction to the news.
They are a patient people. So, they're happy. I don't know. I'd be interested to see. I just don't think the reaction is going to be that grand. I think it's going to be really isolated. And it will exist, and it can be very dangerous, perhaps to a large number of people, and that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think the participation will be small scale.
Well, CBS News reports that former President Donald Trump's possible indictment and arrest in the Manhattan DA's probe has prompted a significant increase in threats in New York, including violent rhetoric from domestic extremists, sources told CBS News. So,
you want them to be ready. New York City has 36,000 police officers, more than the populations of some towns across the country. 36,000, and now all 36,000 officers, and I'm not counting the people back at the shop. I'm talking about the cops on the street. 36,000 of them. They've all been ordered to wear their uniforms. So the visible police presence is going to be huge, and that too. And I think that's partly what this is about. First of all, you wouldn't want them to not be prepared.
Yeah.
And their presence in those numbers in uniform should further deter any actual trouble from happening. And again, it would be small and isolated and quickly defeated.
I think the preparations are stemming not just from precedent like January 6th, but also stemming from real threats that they're receiving.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That they're picking up on chats and that sort of thing. Absolutely. Yes, that's true.
Exactly right. And my hope is, and who knows if this is actually going on, but my hope that law enforcement in New York City is coordinating with federal law enforcement and they're exchanging whatever the threat level might be. They're discussing where it's coming from and who it might be, and just a general awareness in terms of the possibility for something like this.
Yeah, this is standard operating procedure. You get a bomb threat, you start looking for the bomb. You bring in the robots and the dogs. This is just, I think, a wise and fairly standard precaution.
I mean, remember the Zharnaev guys? I don't know if that's how I was always pronouncing it. The Boston Marathon bombers. Just a couple of guys. A couple of guys with a pressure cooker. And so that's really all it takes. And I'm not just sitting here trying to be Mr. Doom and Gloom, Mr. Holy Goddamn Shit, something horrible is going to go down. But I just think we should be aware of it. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And to hope for the best, but expect the worst. I think that's a good posture to take.
Well, it's like I said, it's good to be prepared. And your concern is real. I think this is a case of chocolate and peanut butter. I think we're both right. I think that there will be some kind of trouble, that somebody's going to try, some crazy is going to try something, and maybe they'll succeed. Hopefully they won't. But I just don't see this happening on a grand scale. I don't think the Civil War starts now.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's going to be a civil war. Just to be clear on that, I'm not portending a civil war on this. But
yeah, I didn't necessarily mean that literally, I don't know that all hell's going to break loose. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think they would draw the line at an actual civil war.
I'd like to
think that. I'd like to believe that looking back 160 years and going, hey, you know what? A million dead Americans, not a good idea. We should have freed the slaves prior to that ever happening, and that should have been it. But no, they went down this horrible, horrible road, and it led to this unspeakable carnage. And I hope that the education system... Oh, shit, I'm listening to myself going, what are you even saying? Of course they don't know. Of course they don't realize that sort of thing. Well, I just did a whole thing right there, by the way. I just talked myself out of something. So just so you know.
Yeah. I saw a stand-up comedian, and forgive me, I didn't get his name, and I hope he forgives me for sort of picking up his material. I won't do it nearly as well, but the bit was basically him as sort of an anchorman. He said, first of all, as a stand-up comic, he argued, why don't we just have a confrontation every year between the NRA and the U.S. military?
Yeah.
And he said, you get like 1,000 guys from the NRA and 2 guys from the military.
Right.
And you pit them against each other. And so, and then he pretended to talk to the, you know, what's your name? And he, Buford, you know, what's your confidence Buford. Level that you're going to defeat the military today? And he goes, fucking 1,000%. And then he interviews military guy, one of the military guys in the bunker, and says, you know, what are your plans? And he goes, well, I've got this drone, and you can see on the camera here, they're all grouped together down there, and all I have to do is push this. Are we starting now? Do we?
You know? That's so funny.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't know. They no way could win any kind of a civil war that they launched, or even a large scale assault. That could be crushed so very quickly, and yeah, lives would be lost. But it's not going to be anything like the civil war. They're going to lose if they try it, and I think they know they're going to lose. They just want to make trouble. They just want to shoot those guns.
I think at the very worst, there's going to be some sort of vote in one of the red states to secede, and the vote will probably fail, and the rest of the country will stand there pointing and laughing at their stupid attempt to make that happen. But you know what? We still have more to talk about when it comes to New York City and the hush money impending indictment, so to speak. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. Also, Trump wants his fanboys to sign a petition against indictment. And you'll never believe exactly why. It'll be shocking to you exactly what he's trying to get at here.
That almost always works.
Plus, some great news out of Fulton County, Georgia, with regard to the nature of charges against Donald Trump coming out of that situation, which is a whole other thing. I mean, that, as I've been saying for a couple of years now, keep an eye on Fulton County. That's going to be the big effing deal. That's going to be the one that could potentially land Donald Trump in some serious, serious trouble. I'm not going so far as saying prison time, just to repeat what I've said in the past about prison. I don't think you're going to send an ex-president to prison, literally. I think there's going to be some other form of punishment, house arrest or something like that. I don't think it's going to be prison. I just don't think
although
that can happen.
There have been discussions about that and how Secret Service might be stationed in such a way to allow that to happen. So anything's possible. I tell you what, I'll be right here.
Okay, sounds good. So here's the best way to listen to the Bob Seska Show without all of these commercial interruptions. Just go right now to our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. You know the website address. Scroll down to the link for the ultimate edition of the podcast and sign up for just $15 per month. And you say, oh my God, $15 a month. I've got all these streaming services I'm paying for. What am I going to get for this $15, Bob? Well, in exchange for your generous support, we're going to give you a completely commercial-free version of the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday shows. Plus, you're going to get the Shadow Docket show every Tuesday and Thursday. That's the extra show that we do, the bonus show that we do after we're finished recording the free shows on Tuesday and Thursday. But wait, there's more dings. You're also going to get the Friday After Party podcast with me and Kimberly Johnson included in that level of support. So you're literally getting everything we have to offer on our Patreon page, all for just $15 per month. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, and we'll see you there. Thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Bob Seska!
Love this.
I see the way you see me.
Yeah.
I know the way you think.
This is Arachnophilia.
Turn on your TV.
Yeah, the last time we played this song was 2019. So I'm glad we got this back in the rotation because I love this goddamn song. It's called Change Myself. It's the name of this track. Link in the description to support all the independent bands here on the show. Thank you for doing that.
Arachnophilia, the love of spiders.
Yes, we all love spiders, don't we?
I'm okay with them.
Yeah, they kind of creep us out, but we realize that, yeah, they help control the bug population. So I'm
need bugs.
Happy
yeah.
That's how I rationalize. Mm-hmm. BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show. Thank you for doing that. All right, so what do you think of this? Jim Jordan is trying to interfere in Alvin Bragg's investigation by summoning him.
Just noise. That's what I think.
I know.
This is for the show. This is performative. The Congress has no jurisdiction here.
Right.
It is a crime to obstruct justice. You can't, a criminal investigation cannot be compromised by anyone while it is in progress.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is a farce. It's a show. It's a game. It's all about making the noise and keeping the base riled up and the folks over at Fox News and Newsmax. That's what this is about. It's sound and fury, significant of nothing.
Well, you know what they're also doing? They're also amplifying the scandal itself. And obviously it's unintentional. They don't mean to do that. However, you were talking about Ron DeSantis a second ago.
Right.
Ron DeSantis is definitely trying to amplify the scandal. Ron DeSantis made it seem as though he was kind of sort of defending Donald Trump, but he made sure to be as verbose as he could about the possible charges. I mean, who knows if there's any validity to hush money payments paid to a porn star in the advance of the election and it happened to happen with money.
I wouldn't know what that's like, but at the same time, and then, like I said, he tried to, at the same time, appease the Trump voter base by saying, corruption in the DA's office, George Soros, and trying all that. As I understand it, DeSantis failed in his attempt that Trump world is pretty pissed at him for the response that he did give yesterday. So it isn't working. And, you know, there's reason to believe. I mean, I'm reading more and more about the situations of both of these men. And I would like to restate that it's entirely possible neither one of them ends up as the Republican nominee.
Whenever I attack Alex Jones or Donald Trump or Maria Bartiromo or Candace Owens, I get a kind of reply that is usually standard on Twitter and elsewhere about amplifying these people.
Why are you amplifying
Candace Owens, Bob? Why are you giving her the attention that she craves? And then my reaction is always a face palm followed by a sigh, followed by a hide reply block.
Sometimes
my reaction. But they can do it too. You know what I mean? I mean, this is Jim Jordan doing this, putting all this shit in writing and amplifying the charges against Donald Trump, making sure that everyone knows by lending a patina of scandal and congressional inquiry into it, he's actually making it louder and louder and making it resonate more and more. And in that regard, that's bad news for Donald Trump. I don't know if Jim Jordan realizes that, but that's kind of what's happening. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. I mean, they need to reacquaint themselves. I've said this for years now. They need to reacquaint themselves with the phrase, it's against the policy of this office to comment on an ongoing investigation. I mean, it should be a no-brainer. Like, that's like basic politics 101. You don't want to get too deep into something that could end up biting you in the ass in the long run. You know what I mean?
Well, they'll move on. They'll move. The way they cover that, yeah. And it's not the first time this has happened, is move on to another topic and pretend the other thing never happened.
Yeah.
Look to invasions at the border and that sort of thing. That was a big deal at the time, and then they found something else to talk about when that proved not to be true. Hmm. And it's like they never said it in the first place because they're in the moment, like Trump is in the moment.
So Ted Lieu, one of our favorite members of Congress, yes, reacted to this letter from Jim Jordan and James Comer and these guys and said, you know, dear Jim Jordan, local prosecutors, including D.A. Bragg, owe you nothing. In fact, it is illegal for you and the House Judiciary Republicans to interfere in an ongoing criminal investigation or a criminal trial if there is one, in parentheses, he puts. I love the parenthetical. Yeah, there will be. Yes. There will be one. But so that makes it not only illegal to do this, but I think it emphasizes the overall assumption of high-ranking Republicans like Jim Jordan and like Donald Trump. They believe they can operate with impunity because the Democrats are either too timid or the traditions of American politics prevent prosecutors from going after high-ranking officials of the opposite party.
And I don't think Alvin Bragg, you know, I was going to say, I don't think Alvin Bragg has jurisdiction here, but it would be fun if he could arrest Jim Jordan for obstruction of justice.
But Jim Jordan is assuming, as Donald Trump has assumed so long, at least up until now, what they're assuming is that, well, this has never happened before, so it therefore will not happen. They will not arrest or they will not prosecute someone of the opposite party who's high profile like this. So Jim Jordan believes he can do this and that he won't be held accountable for it, which is possibly true. I mean, I think it's inconceivable that Jim Jordan would get investigated and prosecuted for this letter or taking any sort of actions that would interfere in this investigation.
What Trump and Jim Jordan and Ron DeSantis all have in common is the show and the fact that they don't care if nothing happens. DeSantis, for example, it will issue bizarre orders and, we're going to crack down on illegal voting. And he does some stuff and then it all gets thrown out of court.
Yeah.
Lawsuits are filed by Republican states that get thrown out of court. Trump threatens to, they all threaten. Jim Jordan threatens to do this and that, but it never actually happens. And like Fox News, he moves on to something else when that fails, but he's going to get as much play out of it as he can get away with.
Sure, sure. Well, meantime, this is one of my personal fantasies, is that if Donald Trump has to be taken in, if he doesn't voluntarily turn himself in to Alvin Bragg's office, I hope that they don't shield his head from the car door when they load him into the police cruiser.
You're not the first person who said that. I'm careful. I'm trying to be careful not to like those comments, even though I really do, because I just, you know, we need to be better than any form of violence, and it should never be okay for us, for law enforcement, to allow someone to hit their head on the door frame on their way into a car. But we can laugh at the idea.
Oh yeah. Well, Donald Trump thinks it's a great idea. This is Donald Trump. Not too long ago, speaking to a group of police officers. And this is not the first time he said this.
Please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
Take the hand away. That's fine. He also did that in front of a group of Boy Scouts, I believe. You know where you put the hand on the head? Yeah, he said.
Boy Scouts put perps into cars? I didn't know.
Well, no, you remember.
I didn't know they had that authority.
He did this whole awful rant, if you remember, in front of a gathering of Boy Scouts. Where he's talking about, I think at one point he was talking about sex or something. He was talking about
completely inappropriate.
Getting the police to take their hands away when they're loading suspects into cars and MS-13 and all the rest of it. Yeah, that's what he's insisting that police do. So I hope that police actually listen to him and maybe suspend that procedure for just a day, maybe.
And if I may, another sidebar here, some state cops went undercover here in Florida. Some Florida state cops went undercover, and they went to a drag show in Orlando.
Yeah.
And their mission was to find lewd behavior.
Uh-huh.
There was none. They found none. They reported that they had found none. No lewd behavior at the drag show. That didn't stop another Florida state agency from filing a complaint anyway.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that undercover cops sent to look for lewd behavior didn't find any?
Right.
And that's typical. That's the typical of this pattern.
It's all made up. It's just this, right. It's just hysteria to guard against or to distract from the fact that so many Republicans are getting picked up for child porn and sexual assault and things like that. It just seems like every day something new like that happens. Yeah. But meantime, Trump wants his fanboys to sign this petition against the district attorney in New York City. Mm-hmm. And yes, of course, it's a huge fundraising scam.
Of course.
Because,
mailing list.
Yeah, get your name on a mailing list so that he can ask you for $3,300. Yeah, the headline here is Donald Trump wants his 74 million supporters to sign a petition railing against his potential arrest. Those who sign it are asked to donate $3,300 or more. Such a, like, yeah, just torn from the script of faith healers and traveling tent revivals and televangelists and all the rest of it. If you want to be saved and if you want to help me find redemption, well, here, give me your entire savings account. Give me your life savings. Just empty your checking account. Give it all to me, and I'm going to buy more crap for my gaudy nouveau riche resort in Palm Beach. That's what Donald Trump does. He asked his followers to sign this petition, but signing the petition leads people straight to a page where they're asked to give $3,300 or other suggested amounts of cash to his 2024 campaign.
The balls on that, you know, the gall, the audacity of saying, not just to give us money, I mean, that would be bad enough. No, we want $3,300 from you. If you really care, if you're a human being, if you're a patriot, you'll give us that $3,300.
Yeah, you know what? $3,300 is a lot of goddamn money. That's
it
like,
sure is, especially, I think, for a lot of his voters.
That's like a monthly mortgage payment on a really large, expensive house.
I read about a woman who divorced her husband because he cashed in their house to give all the money to Trump. So those
folks are out
there. Oh, my
God. Are you serious?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a true story.
Oh, my God. Why am I so surprised by that? But at the same time, my God.
Yeah, well, there are those few individuals, the crazies, who will always be there.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been Trump, it probably would have been something else with this guy. But that just shows you that, you know, the right grifter and the right chump come together, and this is what happens.
Well, we make fun of this a lot.
You can't let that happen to me.
But you can't let that happen to me. This puts the onus on his supporters to rescue him. And it's not the first time he said this. I mean, obviously, with this fundraising, the petition, you know, make sure you get out and protest because this cannot stand. The American dream is dead. And now it's up to you to save the American dream. You faithful numbskulls, get your asses out there and put your lives on the line to defend me. You know, the former host of the game show Celebrity Apprentice. That's what's so baffling about this.
You were talking earlier about Fox News types saying, well, if they can do it to Donald Trump, they can do it to you. And Republican politicians saying, if they can do it to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is even saying that now. I meant to interject that at the time.
Yeah.
One of the latest clips I saw from Trump himself used that very psychology on the chumps.
Yes. Again, if it were you, Buzz Burbank.
Right.
You would already be rotting away in a jail somewhere. I mean, that's just exactly the contradiction of what Donald Trump is saying here. Like, this doesn't happen to people? Of course it happens all the time. You know, as I said before, black people are getting beaten in the streets, executed in the streets by law enforcement.
The
latest
video from Virginia is devastating.
Yeah, getting deferential treatment for 2-3 months from a grand jury in New York City is like a cushy change of pace. Oh, my God, the difference is massive. Regular people don't get the treatment Donald Trump gets. Donald Trump is a privileged, entitled old man, and he gets all the leeway in the world. So and don't ever think,
that,
yeah.
He was given that leeway because he's a former president, but also because he's a white male.
So meantime, Atlanta area prosecutors, Fonnie Willis specifically, are considering bringing racketeering and conspiracy charges in connection with Donald Trump's effort to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, according to a source with knowledge of the investigation. Investigators have a large volume of substantial evidence related to a possible conspiracy from inside and outside the state, including recordings of phone calls, emails, text messages, documents, and testimony before a special grand jury. So my assumption as their source here is either, what's her name, Miss Kors, the former...
Oh, yes, jury foreman, yes.
Foreperson, yeah, yeah. Or one of the other jurors who spoke so effusively to the New York Times last week. We covered that on the Thursday show. Mm-hmm. But the special grand jury met for roughly 7 months in Atlanta, heard testimony from 75 witnesses, including some of Trump's closest advisors from his final weeks in the White House. It recommended issuing multiple indictments in their final report, according to the jury foreperson who spoke out in a media blitz, of course. So this ups the ante. We're talking about racketeering now. We're talking about conspiracy. This is gonna, I mean, as eagerly as we're anticipating the charges to come out of New York City, I mean, to kind of agree with what you were saying earlier, Buzz, this is like, you know, the hush money thing, even though it is very serious and we shouldn't underestimate what's going to happen to Donald Trump as a consequence of it. At the same time, Fulton County makes that one look like Tinker Toys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I've heard gangster, you know, mob related talk out of the Georgia investigation before. So I'm not surprised to hear it taking that turn.
Yeah.
Likewise, there is much talk about the Manhattan DA's office that they're looking at conspiracy as an elevation of the charges in this crime. So I think conspiracy is a word you're going to hear in all of these investigations.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't help Donald Trump that he's hiring lawyers who look like Goodfellas LARPers, like Goodfellas cosplayers from some sort of mob convention. Like there was a photo going around, and Glenn Kirshner shared a photo of one of Donald Trump's lawyers, Drew Feindling, and he's dressed in like a zoot suit, basically.
Uh-huh.
He's got like the pinstripe suit, like the Mel Karmazin suit, the black sunglasses. Am I allowed to say Mel Karmazin's name on the show?
Yeah. Oh, you mean Mr. Cologne and Cufflinks? You bet.
I remember when we were at WJFK 30 years ago, right now.
Stop it.
It was against the rules to even mention his name inside that building.
Was it?
I didn't. Yeah, yeah.
He was, I remember when he came, it was like the king has arrived.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if anybody besides us remembers, but he was a big fucking deal and still, I think, runs Sirius XM satellite radio.
Yeah, I think Geronimo used to call him the man in the pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
That's how he could get away with talking about Mel Karmazin without saying the name. Yeah.
Very tall, silver hair. Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy's got the sunglasses. The only thing he's missing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Central casting.
Yeah. That he needs to complete the central casting persona here of a mob attorney is the pinky ring. I don't see a pinky ring, and which is a come on, you're slacking, Mr. Findling.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he's got the jewelry and the over the top loud tie, and you know, just one of these guys. And the same with Taco Penis. He's full on like mafia LARPer.
There's a gold chain under that dress shirt. Yeah.
Where, you know, you could kind of understand it maybe 20 years ago when a lot of white guys were going around pretending to be in the mafia because of they watched the most recent Sopranos episode on HBO the night before. But it just continues to endure. And it's just hilarious to me, especially being half Italian. Yeah. And knowing that these guys are so desperate to appear like the worst possible elements of Italian culture.
Well, there's no question about it. They are bad boys. Conspiracy.
Yeah.
With a lot of bad boys.
Yeah. All right. So the hit parade keeps going. Mar-a-Lago staffers have been subpoenaed in the document theft case. And
I
There's so many dimensions to this, Buzz. What were you going to say?
Oh, story. I just want to say four words, story of the week. This is the most fun story of the week.
Really? Yeah, I'm glad to hear that because, yeah, it is fun. It's not fun for the Mar-a-Lago staffers.
No.
It's fun because, of course, the walls of the trash compactors keep closing in on Donald Trump and his giant pumpkin head. But the thing is, with these Mar-a-Lago staffers, they're probably getting paid next to nothing, like minimum wage, maybe 5% over that. So what this will involve, however, is all kinds of legal debt for it, because they're right. All going to have to hire attorneys.
Or they can accept help from Trump in that department. I wouldn't be because you. Funny. I mean, you've nailed it. These folks can't afford the kind of legal representation they need, or perhaps any legal representation at all, as they're called in as witnesses. And you really should have a lawyer with you.
Oh, yes.
Even if you're just a witness, even if you have no involvement in this whatsoever, as certainly these wait staff and maids, that would be the position they're in.
Yeah.
But they need lawyers now because of this. They can't afford them. And there is a very real concern that Trump will step up to pay their legal bills, or maybe he won't. I don't know. We'll see. But it is something we need to keep an eye on because it could affect justice here.
I always think of this scene from The West Wing that will give us a taste of what some of these staffers could end up facing. I mean, it's too bad for them. I mean, they're getting completely screwed over because of Donald Trump's fuckery. And these are the consequences. It's sad and awful.
Today, the president is going to direct the attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor.
Yes, sir.
You know what that means, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to need a lawyer.
Actually, Mr. Babish, I don't think I need one.
You do.
I think I'll be fine.
Really?
Yeah.
He's going to ask you about everything you have seen and heard since you started working at the White House.
I can answer those questions truthfully.
Then he's going to call you back a month later and ask you the exact same questions. If your answers change even a little, they can prosecute you for perjury.
Mr. Babish.
Oliver's fine. Are you prepared to describe every conversation you ever had with the president? Whether he asked you for an aspirin? Whether his hands quivered? Are you prepared to answer questions about your relationship with his youngest daughter? This is NFL football.
When is this all going to happen?
I don't know.
How can you not know?
Because grand jury investigations are secret.
So they can just knock on my door one morning?
They will knock on your door one morning.
How much? You know, how much do you think?
Assuming you did nothing wrong, saw nothing wrong, and heard nothing wrong. About $100,000.
Wow. Man. You know what? And it's not just the Mar-a-Lago staffers. How many people who were just, I mean, I guess you could call them innocent bystanders in all of this.
Right.
How many of those people have already been looped into this madness because of Donald Trump's irresponsibility, his recklessness, his disregard for the rule of law, his disregard for traditions, his disregard for institutions? It's impossible to count, right?
And I would hope that some form of legal aid could step up. It doesn't have to be Donald Trump providing them assistance. There are lawyers available to do that, I am sure.
Yeah.
I hope that they're all able to connect with one another.
Okay, well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, Judge Beryl Howell has given Jack Smith a huge parting gift as she steps down from her bench on this. This is pretty damn big, and this is one of my favorite stories of the week,
cool.
In fact. Plus, Trump is asking Fonnie Willis. We can continue with the Fonnie Willis discussion, too, because Trump has asked a Georgia court to scrap the criminal investigation into efforts to overturn the state's presidential election by him and his attorneys. Yeah, good luck with that, guys.
Right.
I think that's Mr. Findling. I think that's the mafia LARPer that we were talking about a second ago.
Good luck, sir.
Okay, back with more show right after these words.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Touring the world. This is the great Marina Rocks, one of our faves here on the show. Yeah. Song called Cray Cray.
Yeah. I like that.
Wonder who this is about. Who's Cray Cray that we've all been talking about for 7-8 years now? Way too long, you know. Link in the description.
More.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think more and more people are adjusting to the life as it is now and wrapping their heads around it and finding it a little easier to deal with it.
Yeah, I hope so. We're all trying. We're doing the best we can. But you know what? There's so much. I think we're still in a place of grieving. I think we're still, you know, kind of shaken from what happened for those 4 years between Donald Trump and COVID and all the rest of it. My God. It's something we're going to be shaking off for some time now.
I wouldn't mind continuing that, but I know that I cut you off before, which is what I do, but I cut you off before you could give the plug for the music.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, Marina Rocks, Cray Cray. You can find the link in the description under this episode of BobSeska.com. Just go to BobSeska.com, find the episode. It's dated 3/21/23. That's this episode. Click on that link, scroll on down, and you'll find the links for all the music here on the show. Thank you for doing that.
I thought it was beautiful yesterday with Jason Sudeikis and the cast from Ted Lasso showed up at the White House. They put over the Oval Office door, they taped up a sign that said believe. And they had a news conference about the mental health.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good and important. And one of the things Sudeikis said is, regardless of your politics, you're probably feeling stressed right about now. And I think it's good that we're talking about that and emphasizing mental health. I saw a post from a guy who's all about this sort of thing and advising people, look, there's going to be breaking news that will get you excited, and there's going to be breaking news that will let you down. Imagine yourself in a boat. Mm-hmm. And even though the boat, or the water rises and falls, you're safe in the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. You know, you're not in the water. You're going to be okay. And I think people need to start thinking of things in that way and embracing that sort of philosophy so that they're not so stressed. It's time for us all to relieve ourselves of that stress. And that's really all I wanted to say about mental health and Cray Cray.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in fact, kind of an FU to, I think it's the New Republic. Mm-hmm. Published a piece the other day, and I could be wrong in that. I hope it's the New Republic. But they posted a piece that I've been seeing come up just every few hours on Twitter, which is, oh, the Ted Lasso optimism is wearing thin. The plucky optimism of Ted Lasso is becoming old hat, or whatever they're saying. Oh, bullshit. Oh, my God.
Bullshit.
Yeah, because it is so important to have a show like Ted Lasso around that at least, even if we're not feeling optimistic ourselves, we're at least optimism adjacent, so to speak.
And reminded of what optimism is and how it works. Yes.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, I think Hal Sparks is another one who is a great example of the kind of optimism we need to start embracing. Obviously, we don't want to have blind optimism to the problems of the world. There are lots of things to be concerned about, obviously. But I think at least finding a way to be optimistic about something at least once a day, maybe, is always a healthy way to go. And if that means half an hour, 45 minutes watching Ted Lasso, half an hour, 45 minutes watching an episode of Strange New Worlds or something like that, that gives you, that allows you to bask in that optimism, there's nothing fucking wrong with that. We're only on season 3 of Ted Lasso. I mean, how many episodes have there been? 20? I mean, hardly any in comparison.
And it's one show. You're going to beat up on one show for being optimistic? F you.
Yeah, exactly right. So, for God's sake, enjoy Ted Lasso while it's with us. I think this is probably going to be the last season.
More importantly, embrace the spirit of it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. So, and it doesn't have to necessarily be your thing to say, hey, you know what? This is a valuable show. It's not my thing. I don't love it. I don't care for this actor or that actor or the way this is. I don't care about soccer or whatever. Doesn't matter. It's still something that a lot of people are desperately craving. They're hungering for that.
They need it.
Yeah. I mean, we watched The Whale over the weekend. And oh my God, I'm still shaken by it. I'm still knocked out emotionally from it. And I was listening to an interview after watching it with Marc Maron interviewing Brendan Fraser. And they were talking about the grief that Brendan Fraser's character in that movie is experiencing and how we can all relate to that and to some extent because of some of the things that we've endured over the past 7-8 years with regard to COVID, especially those of us losing loved ones, losing friends to COVID, the grieving process for our withering democracy or our democracy under threat. And so these are all things that are circulating in our heads that are forcing us to evaluate what kind of grief we're dealing with and how to remedy that, how to recover from that grief, where to compartmentalize it. And so in that regard, whether it's something as optimistic as Ted Lasso or something like The Whale, which is an extraordinarily sad story, but ultimately uplifting in the end, I think is valuable for us to experience, especially now.
Well, I think Brendan Fraser is an incredibly nice person from everything I've read and heard. And I think that he gave a great performance that I still don't like the movie. I think it was too salacious in its depiction of his obesity. I just think they overdid that. And that put me off the movie a little bit. And it's a rough movie to see. Again, you know, credit for his performance, but still not one I would necessarily recommend to people.
Yeah, well, for whatever flaws it may had, the overall drive of the narrative, the character study that Darren Aronofsky was portraying with these characters was extraordinarily touching. The performances were, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, the woman who plays Brendan Fraser's ex-wife walked into that room late in the movie as though she had literally experienced 40 years of relationship with this guy.
Right.
I mean, you could see it on her face. You could see it in her posture and the way she was behaving. I mean, I was knocked out. And I think we all, to some extent, when it comes to The Whale, I think we all can relate to some aspect of it, whether it's the grief, whether it's family strife,
maybe,
whether it's bad decisions.
Maybe that's what I didn't like about it. I didn't like the mirror, maybe.
that could possibly be. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising at all because it just depends on where your headspace is when you see some of these things reflected back at yourself. Okay, I didn't mean to get off on because I was going to save The Whale thing to talk about it with Kimberly on Friday, but there's a little hint as to... if you haven't seen The Whale, let me put it this way. Uh-huh. In that interview with Marc Maron and Brendan Fraser, Marc Maron broke down and started to cry to the point where they had to stop the show and then resume the show. And it was, I listen, Marc Maron's one of my favorite podcasts. And so I've heard many interviews with him and that's never happened before. So that kind of gives you a sense as to the emotional impact of this story. But anyway, so I'll leave you with that.
It may be because of my advancing age, but as I was doing the final year of my newscast, if I got to a story about horrible human injustice or something that was incredibly heartwarming, it was not unusual for me to burst into tears.
Yeah.
And then of course I would edit that out because nobody wants that. Yeah. But there were things that affected me so deeply as I was doing them. Yeah, I wrote the story. I mean, I knew the story. It's not like this was being sprung on me as I recorded it. I knew the material well, and yet it still had that incredible impact on me. So I can relate to that, and it's hard not to be human sometimes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, yeah, I think we'll talk about this more in the after party on Friday, so stick around for that on our Patreon page. Meantime, Judge Beryl Howell has given Jack Smith a huge parting gift while she steps down from the bench. She's handed Justice Department Special Prosecutor Jack Smith what she deemed evidence of a crime involving the former president improperly hoarding classified documents after he left office.
Right.
According to a source, Evan Corcoran, who's one of Donald Trump's attorneys, his professional notes about private communications with his client were turned over to Judge Howell. This has everything to do with the crime fraud exception. And Judge Howell is in the process of conducting an in-camera review, which is a carefully controlled screening of confidential records that typically takes place in a judge's chambers. If I were to pick one thing of the past week and a half that made Donald Trump shit in his big boy diapers, it'd be this. It wouldn't be the New York City thing. It would be this, the fact that now Judge Howell has her hands on all of this formerly privileged information between Trump and his attorneys, which also includes Christina Bob, I believe. So that information now is in the hands of the court. This is no longer privileged information. So all of those private conversations where possibly Donald Trump is either admitting guilt or coming damn close to admitting guilt, to at the very least providing additional evidence for prosecutors, that's now fair game. I mean, it's an incredible thing.
She's denied attorney-client privilege in these matters because the attorneys were actually involved in assisting in the commission of the crime.
Either way, Trump's legal team is left without recourse, and federal prosecutors have more evidence to bolster the next steps in their ballooning investigation. Huzzah!
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, another in sort of related good news and another reason for progressives to have hope is in that New York case, by putting the pro-Trump witness on the stand yesterday, that Robert Costello, the attorney, in putting him on the stand, they revealed to prosecutors, the Trump legal team revealed to prosecutors what their approach is going to be.
Yep.
So when this all goes to trial, the prosecutors will be a step ahead. It was considered by other attorneys to be a boneheaded move to put Robert Costello on the stand for this very reason, because we've now cued prosecutors in on what the defense is planning. They could be two, three steps ahead of the defense when that one comes to pass. So you see what's happening here in the legal system, whether it's in Georgia or in New York, it's getting harder and harder for him to weasel out of these things.
Yeah, so before we wrap up today, how many elections have Republicans committed some sort of conspiracy in order to win? I'm looking
all of them since Eisenhower. I don't know.
I'm looking at 1968 and stalling the peace talks in Vietnam. I'm looking at now, according to this news story, 1980. Where the plot, we've now received more confirmation of this. Obviously, this is something that's been discussed for many years now, but more confirmation that Republicans, including William Casey, maybe even Ronald Reagan, John Connolly, conspired to delay the release of the Iran hostages in order to help Ronald Reagan win in 1980.
Surprised? No.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all surprised. I mean, this is the reoccurring thing that we see time and time again. The only way this increasingly radical party can win elections is by cheating like this. Obviously, 2020 is a big example of that. How many different ways did Donald Trump and the Republicans try to manipulate that election? Starting with Burisma, starting with Zelensky, starting with Hunter Biden's laptop. All of it, on through the January 6th insurrection, and then the gigantic cover-up that's taken place since then. This is the standard operating procedure for the Republican Party, and honest to God, I mean, it's exciting news to actually see it in print, but it should come as no surprise, should it?
No, it was not surprising at all, but really good to see this happening, whether, again, it's in Georgia or New York, it's getting harder for Mr. Slippery to slip away.
Right, right. Well, you know what? I wanted to talk about the... the dueling lawsuits taking place on Fox News Channel. Taking place inside Fox News Channel because, one of the producers is suing Fox News, and Fox News is also suing her. So basically, to give you a thumbnail before we talk about this on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page, you know that Spider-Man gif, that Spider-Man meme going around where there's like three Spider-Mans and they're all pointing at each other?
Right, yes.
That's what this is, but in lawsuit form.
Yes, exactly.
This is just, I don't know what you would call it, a circle jerk of lawsuits inside Fox News Channel.
In any event, it's bad for Fox.
Yeah, yeah. And for some reason, and I don't know why, but for some reason, it made me kind of feel bad for Maria Bartiromo. And I shouldn't. I mean, she's a goddamn liar.
Yes, the worst kind.
Part of this conspiracy. But apparently what they're saying here, I don't know if this is a cover story or what the intention is with this. We'll talk about it on the Shadow Docket, but it seems like they may have manipulated her, or at least that's the allegation, that they manipulated her into talking about some of these lies about the 2020 election.
And I want to talk, and I want to talk in the Shadow Docket, share a little bit of good news about Jack Smith's J6 investigation over at the Justice Department.
Oh, good. Okay, let me see what that could possibly be. You know what? Okay, now you've got me sufficiently teased because I don't know what you're getting at with this. So.
See, even you'll be listening at the Shadow Docket today.
Yes, I will. I can't wait. I'm going to go and subscribe for $5 a month at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. I'm going to check out this thing they call the Shadow Docket.
Please do.
Yeah, it's like an extra 20 minutes of show. You know, we're not quite done talking about things.
We have stuff.
Yeah, we still have lots more things about the world to fix.
Tings.
Then we're going to solve all the problems. And that'll happen on the Shadow Docket. Once again, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Let's see what else. Wyoming abortion pills, possibly. We're going to talk about that. Maybe. Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll play this clip from Rep. Pamela Stevenson, a Democrat in the State House in Kentucky.
This is a true bonus.
Yeah, where she defends trans people and blasts the holy war against the LGBTQ community.
And does it better than anybody I've heard.
Plus, some shocking findings from the IPCC at the UN regarding the climate crisis. Not good news.
No.
All right, folks. See you on the Shadow Docket at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Bye-bye.
Shut up.